Good morning. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Excuse me. I'm dying already, Wally. Today is, we're going to ordain Wally today as the pastor of this church and the ministry. So the sermon is for Wally. You all listen in. And so anyway, Wally and Belinda and their family first came to the church 8 years ago. And I got to know them, and we were in a Bible study a couple years ago, or a couple, maybe 2 years after that. And I stopped the Bible study and looked at Wally, and I believe it was the Holy Spirit talking to me and saying, Wally, God brought you to this place to be the next pastor of the church. And so I am absolutely convinced of that. Now, what I want all of you to realize is that Wally was called by God to the ministry. This is something he felt right not long after he was saved and felt that God was calling him to the ministry. Our responsibility as a church was to recognize that call on Wally's life. And we did. The search committee did their due diligence and recognized God's call on Wally's life to be the pastor here. One thing that we ought to understand as a church is the church does not hire the pastor. He is not a hireling. The pastor is called by God to serve the church. And so that's something that we need to remember, and as we move forward, we need to pray for him and uplift him. Not only Wally, but Belinda and the kids. And Belinda, I've told you, the toughest job in the church is to be the pastor's wife. And the kids, don't put this family on a pedestal. They are just like us. And they need help, and they need support, and they need prayer, and they need encouragement, and they need strength, and they need what God gives us through the Holy Spirit. So, 2 Timothy chapter 4, let me read this scripture. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own needs, their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Pray with me. Our Father and our God, how grateful we are that you raise up men after your own heart, men to serve your people, to shepherd your church. So Father, we are thankful today for Wally Contreras and how you've called him to this place at this time in his life. We're thankful for his family, that they've come and they've also realized the call on Wally's life, and they're here to support him and to love him. Father, I pray that as the church goes forward, that as a church, we will support him and love him and care for him. Allow him to make mistakes. Forgive him. And Father, we will do everything for your praise and your glory. And all God's people said, the first thing that Paul says is, I charge you. I charge you. Some translation says, I solemnly charge you. And Wally, this is your first responsibility. Your first responsibility as pastor is to preach the word. There is nothing more important in your ministry than being faithful to preaching the entire counsel of God. Not just what you like, not just what you think is appropriate, but everything. Even when the word convicts us, we need to preach that word. Let me say something else to you. Never preach a message that God has not already worked through you. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life and then present that message to the church. Don't preach opinions. We don't preach the newspaper articles. We don't preach magazines. All we preach is the Word of God, and the Word of God is enough. Don't be governed by feelings or emotions. Don't yield to the temptation of using your own interpretation. There is one interpretation of the Scripture, and we trust the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. So rely upon Him. Seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and then follow Him as He leads you in the study of His Word. Preach the Word. In the presence of God, Paul, in the presence of God, charges Timothy, who also is standing in the presence of God, to preach the Word. Realize that God's presence is all around us. God's presence is in this room. And Paul, in the presence of God and with the authority of God, charges Timothy to preach the Word. It is an amazing thing how God speaks to us through others. Paul just says, I'm telling you in the presence of God, here is what you are supposed to do. And by the way, if he doesn't do that, call him out. Does that make sense? Here's what I've always told people. If you disagree with me, it's okay to disagree, but when you come talk to me, bring your Bible. Because the truth is, your opinion does not matter to me. What matters to me and what ought to matter to you, Wally, is the Word of God. And only the Word of God. Paul says, God is the witness to my instruction. And God will be the witness at your preaching, Wally. The command, I believe, is coming from God Himself. And of Christ Jesus, he says. As you preach, you stand in the presence of both the Father and the Son. And you are empowered by the Holy Spirit. And you must preach in the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't stand behind this altar, this podium, without confessing your sin, without coming here in purity of heart. There is a danger in that. And that danger is self-serving. It is not preaching the Word of God in faith. It says Christ Jesus, who's judging the living and the dead. By the way, the Word carries the power of life and death. The Word gives us the gospel, the way of salvation. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And that's the gospel message. And that's what needs to be preached. Grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Understand there is eternal life in the words of Scripture. There is abundant life. There is eternal life. That life where those who have professed faith in Christ, who are legitimately saved, will spend eternity in heaven with God forever. But there is also another side of eternal life, and that is the life of judgment and punishment, where people who have rejected Christ will spend in hell for all eternity. And your responsibility, our responsibility, not just the pastor's, is to tell people there is a heaven and there is a hell, and this is how you escape. It is all about God. We have nothing to do with our salvation. God draws us through the power of the Holy Spirit. God convicts us of our sin. God saves us. What we do is we call out to Him. All who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. There's life and death in the Word of God. By the appearing in the kingdom of Christ. We're going to have communion today, and what we do is we look back at Christ's death. We look also at what He's doing in our lives, and we look for His coming again. How many of us are looking for the coming of God? And we need to instruct others that He is coming again. And I'm not sure when He's coming again, and neither are you. But the fact is, we need to be ready. We need to be prepared when Jesus breaks through the sky and calls us. And so part of your responsibility, Wally, is to point people. Get them ready to live in obedience to the coming of Jesus Christ. Preach the Scripture, every word. It is God's inspired word. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And that just doesn't appear, that's just not applicable to Wally. It's applicable to all of us. And as Wally preaches the word, that word sinks into our heart. and helps mold us into the image of Jesus Christ. Profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Be faithful in preaching the word. It's all you got. It's all you have. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We talked about training in righteousness. In Ephesians chapter 4, gives us the work of a pastor and evangelist. Beginning in verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Notice this, Wally. It doesn't say that you do all the work. It doesn't say, church, that the pastor does all the work. What it says is the pastor equips those for the work of the ministry, and they come together to serve God and to serve one another. The church, the body of Christ, is built up by that which every joint supplies. And the fact is, if you are a believer, you are a joint. And it is your responsibility to come together to help the church become what God wants it to be. When we're doing that, the church will be known for its love, and the church will be unified and moving forward to please God. Until we're mature believers. That is a lifelong engagement. And not only will you be preaching that to others, Wally, you will have to be preaching that to yourself. You need to be continually growing in the Lord. The goal of God for every believer is to be conformed to the image of His Son. And so I would encourage each of you to move in that direction, to study the Word, to memorize the Word, to meditate on the Word, so that the Word is infused into your life so that you can be what God wants you to be. It's then and only then that the church will be able to accomplish the will and purpose of God in this place. It's only then that God will be able to use Wally to the full extent that He wants to use him. Not tossed to and fro. Taught solid doctrine. Growing in Christ. Talks about discipleship. And I won't go into these issues in detail this morning, but there is in the Southern Baptist Convention a movement toward critical race profiling, training, whatever, and intersectionality, which is contrary to the Word of God, and also something called revoice, which is also contrary to the Word of God. You can take a look at those things. And I've talked to Wally already, and there may come a time because of the movement of some in the Southern Baptist Convention to go toward those ways which were anti-God and anti-biblical to sever the relationship with the Southern Baptist Convention. I know that is unheard of. But the fact is, we are either going to be true to the Scripture or we are going to be true to a convention. Which do we choose? We choose to be true to the Scripture. Albert Moeller, who is the president of Southern Seminary, said, "This is anti-God liberal democracy." Not talking about Democrats. But he said it's anti-God liberal socialist thinking. The church can't go down that road. And so, Wally, keep yours open. Study. Lead the church where it needs to go. To follow Christ, to be obedient. There is nothing more important in the church than to be unified. And that unity can only come as we seek God together, as we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. as we work together to build up the body of Christ and to build up one another. Everyone working and ministering together, it builds the church up into love. If you're here this morning and you are not involved in the ministry of First Baptist Church and you are a member, shame on you. God calls each member of the church to work, to serve. We are all given spiritual gifts to help one another, to minister to God and to help one another grow in Christ. 60% of the church can't be involved in the ministry of the church if the church is supposed to be, is going to be what God wants it to be. If you're not giving, the church will not be what God wants it to be. Ministry requires money. Now, I understand, I'm not a bottom line guy. Understand that. I believe with budgets you have a bottom line, but every bottom line needs to have faith added to it. Because God can do whatever He decides to do whenever He decides to do it. So don't get trapped by money. Get trapped by faith in God. Follow Him wherever He's leading. But it is true. God loves a cheerful giver. And so we need to give out of how God has blessed us. I think it's in Acts chapter 16. It says, each one of you should give on the first day of the week. Give as God has prospered. God has prospered many more than a tithe. Preach the word, the entire counsel of God. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to start reading in verse 11. Command and teach these things, and you go back and take a look at what those things are. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers in an example in speech. Wally, you're not a young man. Somebody asked me some time ago, how old is Wally? And I said, I don't know, 44, 45, 49, 48, somewhere up in there. But you are young, you're going to be young as a pastor. This is your first pastorate. And so, don't let anyone look down on you because this is the first place that you're serving God as pastor. God has placed you here. An example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. You catching the responsibility you have to be an example of these things. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. The word teaching there refers to doctrine, sound doctrine. This is the only place where we find sound doctrine. And there is only one interpretation, many translations, but one interpretation of the Word of God, and that, and we are led by the Holy Spirit into that one truth. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things, immerse yourself in them, keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers. In Philippians chapter 4, Wally, it says we are to imitate Christ. Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. That's exactly what Paul is saying to Timothy. Watch your own life. Be careful how you live before God. Because it's only then when you can be that example to others. I didn't sleep very well last night thinking about this. And every time I woke up, I was in the same passage of Scripture, which is Philippians chapter 4, which happens to be my favorite passage, my favorite chapter in the Bible. I don't know why I got there. But I believe it was the Holy Spirit. And so I just, whenever I have a difficult time, that's where I go. Philippians chapter 4. And I just want to touch some of the things there. Paul writes in verse 1, therefore, my brothers whom I love and long for, My joy and crown stand firm thus in the Lord. There's the first thing, Wally, stand firm. The storms are coming. And the next verse tells us what kind of storms may come. I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. There will be trouble in the church. People won't get along. Some deliberately will cause problems. And your responsibility is not to take sides, but is to help them reconcile. And that's what we need to be. We need to be agents of reconciliation, and that's just not Wally, that is the entire church. So when we hear something critical, are we going to be agents of division or agents of reconciliation? Someone said a long time ago, and I can't even remember who it was, that every church member carries with them 2 5-gallon buckets, one filled with water and one filled with gasoline. And when you hear something that is negative, you can either put it out or you can stoke the fire. By the way, if you hear somebody say something negative about Wally, you say to them, I will go with you to talk to him about whatever it is. Pray about it before you go. Don't go in haste. Don't go with a vindictive spirit, but go. It's better to go and talk to him than it is to sit back and gripe and complain and mumble and groan, because that only causes division. By the way, right here, don't expect his kids to be anything more than they are. Let them be kids. I remember years ago, not long after I came, it was a Sunday night, and the guy who was working with the youth came to me before the service and said to me, Pastor, your kids need to bring their Bibles to Bible study because they're your kids and they need to set an example. My kids do need to take their Bibles to Bible study, but they don't need to set an example because they're my kids. And what I told that person was, it's time for you to move on. Don't you try to put my kids up here at a level where they can't possibly perform. That they have to live a certain way because they're the preacher's kids. Let those kids be kids. Let their parents take care of them. That's a tough enough job. He agrees. No matter what's going on, verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. No matter what's happening in your life, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the situations, learn to rejoice. And I will tell you, that's the hardest thing I've ever had to learn. Because sometimes when I'm hurt or I'm offended, I tend to back up. And I tend to pull into myself. But realizing that that happens, I can't be who I'm supposed to be in Christ if I don't learn how to rejoice in spite of all this stuff. Rejoice in the Lord always. Don't worry. I used to think worry was a sin. Worry is not a sin. Dwelling on worry is the sin. Allowing worry to consume you is the sin. So don't be anxious about anything. The word anxious talks about stress. And if you understand stress, it means that you feel like you're being strangled. You feel like you're being pulled in two different directions. And Paul says, don't be anxious about anything, and here's how you overcome it. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then the promise is the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Our attitude is everything. Our prayer life is everything. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Your thought life is important. Guard your heart. Guard your thoughts. We have negative thoughts. We have different kind of thoughts, but it says, guard your heart. How do you do that? You don't allow those thoughts to linger in your mind. You chase them. You confess them. You seek God's forgiveness. And you move on in the power of the Holy Spirit. Watch your thought life. Make sure your conduct is what it's supposed to be. What you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul says, you follow me as I follow Christ. You need to find somebody that can mentor you. Somebody that is a godly person. Someone who can build their life into you. Someone that you can follow as that person follows Christ, so that you can lead others to follow you as you follow Christ. You're going to have to learn to be content. Contentment. Whew, that's a tough thing. It's tough to be content. In our society, we always want more. Everybody wants more of something. What we need more of is God. We need to learn to be content in whatever situation we find ourselves. The good, the bad, the ugly. We need to learn to be content, and here's how we do it. We can do all things through Christ. We can do all things through Christ. We need to be content. We also need to learn to be dependent. We go through struggles so that we can learn how to depend on God. If we didn't struggle, if there was nothing difficult ever in our lives, we wouldn't need God. But we go through those struggles so that we can learn to depend on Him more. So that we learn how trustworthy He is. So that we learn He keeps every promise. And He provides for us. Verse 19. My God will supply every need of yours according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. You believe that? God's going to call you as a church to do things you think are impossible. God's going to call Wally to lead you as a church to do things you think are impossible. But if God calls you to do that, then anything is possible with God. He can provide, not just materially, emotionally, physically. My God shall supply all your needs, whatever they are. I remember when I first started to preach, and I preached a lot of places in Ohio. And while I was traveling and going different places, I would think as I was going there, why can't I preach like Charles Stanley? Or why can't I preach like John MacArthur? Or why can't I preach like Chuck Swindoll? And one time I was praying and God said, you ain't them. You ain't Charles Stanley. And you ain't John MacArthur. Is that pretty good English? And you ain't Chuck Swindoll, but you are you. Let God use you the way you are. You don't have to be anybody else. You just have to be Wally. It is our privilege today to recognize God's call on your life, that He has set you apart to be the pastor of this church. And I was telling Wally in my office this morning, I said, today, for all intents and purposes, you are the pastor at First Baptist Church. Belinda said, no, you're still the pastor for one more week. Does it seem like it's just one more week? Anyway, we're going to share communion together, and then we're going to pray for Wally and his family as we set them apart for the ministry at First Baptist Church. Will the elders and deacons come? Again, I say today that you don't have to be a member at First Baptist Church to take communion. But you do need to be a member of God's church. There has to have been a time when you realized that you needed a Savior. You confessed your sins, asked Christ to forgive your sins, and asked Him to come into your life and save you. We come to God's table, not to the table at First Baptist Church. So we invite you to come. Let me read the scripture. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever, therefore, eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died." It doesn't say, don't come to the table. What it does say is, come to the table with your sin confessed. So we need to take some time. And let and be honest with God. And allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. And reveal to us any sin that is there. And then as he reveals that sin in our lives, then we need to confess it. Ask God for forgiveness. And then come to the table. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, you have searched our hearts and revealed to us the things that are sinful. Father, we've confessed those sins and you've forgiven us. And we come to your table as pure as we know how. Lord, we thank you for the time to share in this supper together. Looking back at what you've done for us, looking inside to see what you're continuing to do, and looking forward to that day when you come again for your church. Father, we thank you and praise you for all that you do. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Thank you. The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." While I come here, just stand by me a minute. Before we pray for your family, I have a couple things here. One is your certificate of ordination. Just so you know, Wally went through an ordination council with the association where a few people grilled him. Well, they didn't really grill him, but they asked him questions about doctrine, about theology, about practice. And so they all decided that Wally passed the test. Rick was there, even though Rick voted against, no. And so Wally passed that test, and so there's your certificate. And I have one thing that I've had in my desk for a while. It's a cloth that says, "Lead like Jesus." So anyway, family, come. Have the elders and deacons come. We'll stand over here so we have some room. Shut up. So let's circle around them and lay hands on them. And Ken, you're going to lead us in prayer.
Thank you for the years of service that Pastor Tom and Diane have given us, and we just pray that you would just be with them as they enter this new phase of their lives, Lord. But today is about walling the living in their family, Lord. And we just thank you for what you've given to us and just the years that they've already been here and the character that we know them to be, Lord. But as he enters this time of faithful service to you, Lord, just let both him and Belinda just continue this rock-solid relationship that they have, Lord. Just be with them and to help them strengthen one another, Lord. And just allow us as members of their church and of their family, Lord, and as we count them as friends, just allow us to do the same for them, to be here not as a stumbling block, but as a person and as a group to help them grow in you, Lord. And as they raise their children, Lord, and those of us who have children the same age as Lord, let us just continue to use one another as a guide and as a help to raise our children to be God-fearing and to raise them in Christ as you would have us do, Lord. We just pray for them today as we move forward. We just thank you for this time and thank you for this family, Lord. We pray all these things in your holy name. Amen.
Mike, where'd Mike go? Come close us. Go ahead and put your seats in. Praise team, come close us.